Hi everyone, welcome to the first Paddock Note Show from the Grand Prix de France. As ever, we're here on a Thursday. It's an incredibly sunny and warm afternoon here in Le Mans. We've just finished all the rider debriefs, various interviews. You might hear some football kind of style chants behind us, as there's already several thousand fans in the pit lane chasing around the riders. As usual, the fever is high in France. The passion for motorcycle racing these guys have is pretty crazy. I'm joined by Mr. Neil Morrison, looking slightly paler after a very early start from Paris this morning, and Mr. Manuel Bacino. What a pleasure it is to have you on the Paddock Pass podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me in. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Manu, you're only a little bit older than Neil and I.
Just a bit, yes. It's not because of the white hair.
Tell me about some of your first times coming to this place. I mean, we started coming here in 2000 for MotoGP. What do you remember?
Yes, TV was black and white when I started. No, my first championship was in 93. And yes, I've been in Le Mans since then. Almost, I think every year since then, yes.
And is it a circuit that, you know, is, I mean, we talk about the atmosphere and the passion for this place, but, you know, in terms of racing, in terms of the excitement for Grand Prix, it's pretty special.
Yeah, the good thing of Le Mans is that everything happens inside the circuit. How do you say?
The facility?
Yes, the facility. Downtown there is almost nobody and there are a lot of alcohol controls. So everything happens in the facilities. And yes, it's a big atmosphere. The circuit is not, it doesn't look very difficult, although the riders say that it's quite technical.
Neil, we've spoken to the riders, as I said at the top of the show. In the first press conference, we had three Ducati riders. We had Pecco Bagnaia, Jorge Martin, and Marc Marquez. There was a slightly awkward moment at one point where Bagnaia was asked to choose between both of his fellow sort of companions in that particular ceremony, which he would prefer as a factory rider teammate next year. But undeniably, there's a rumour swell going up around Marquez actually being given that factory Ducati next year. How likely is it?
I mean, it's difficult to say, but Gigi Delinha made some comments today which indicated that Mark was certainly being maybe considered above Martin and Bastianini. He said that we have to look at the form and the performance of the riders over the last 6 or 7 years rather than just one single season like last year, which would indicate that, you know, Mark would maybe be just ahead. But I think they were saying that it's going to be done in the next month or so. I think they're going to make this decision. And I guess that's critical if you are the two riders that miss out, because you're probably going to need to make contact with some other manufacturers to make sure there's space available.
Manu, a silly question, but this doesn't necessarily mean Marc Marquez, right? I mean, can we talk about Joan Mir? Could we talk about other riders? You know, if Ducati is saying they're looking at more than just last season, for example.
I have a theory, and for me it's pretty clear what is going to happen. In 10 days we will see if I'm right or wrong. Look, the sequence is the following. The Ducati isn't anymore the super bike that almost any rider can win with. It's clear that KTM and Aprilia are getting closer, right? We agree with this. There is also the Pedro Acosta factor.
Okay,
and Delinha is everything but stupid. So he knows that to keep the momentum, he needs the best rider of the grid on his bike now. Before, with that bike, Bezzecchi won, Alex Marquez won, Zarco won, anybody could win with the bike. Now it doesn't look that like this anymore. Best rider on the bike, if we ask around who is the best rider of the grid, I think we will all agree.
Yes.
93. So I think it's a must for Delinha having Mark on that bike. It's a must. And on the other way, if Mark leaves Ducati, he's already 31. He will have to start again with a new crew chief, again with a new working system. And Mark has said very clear that he wants to be on a factory team. So he doesn't look like, okay, I will, even if I have a factory bike in Gresini. No, he wants to be factory. This is my theory. And then there is a but that could be the Red Bull situation. Okay, he is Red Bull, and Ducati has an agreement with Monster for MotoGP, Superbike, and Motocross, as you know very well. But then you think that Mark has given away 15 million that he could have won this year. What for?
What's 5 million more?
To win.
Yeah.
He has not gone through that misery he's got through in the last 4 years. He for him, second is not enough. Third, he's just here for winning. So it's a marriage that has to happen, in my opinion.
I think one of the interesting things we've heard over the last few weeks is other Ducati riders talking about looking at Marquez's data. I think it was one of the VR46 guys saying that through Jerez, no one was stronger in the left-hand turns. And, you know, Mark was in four races basically the strongest of all the Ducati guys through the left-handers. And then Alex Marquez was saying today, Manuel in Spanish, was talking quite interestingly about Mark's braking technique. Alex thought, okay, he could do that in the Honda. There's no way he'd be able to do it in the Ducati, but somehow he's doing it. Clearly, you get the impression Gigi is obviously aware of what every rider is doing exactly on the bike. And, you know, Mark is clearly doing some special things, which again would feed into what Manuel is saying, that yeah, he's probably the fastest, most talented guy on the grid.
And note something. I think we all know Gigi, and we know that he's basically an engineer, right? And Gigi wants to know how far his bike can go with the best rider. He's already seeing that Mark is braking as none other Ducati rider has done in the past. So he's pushing his bike even further. So for Gigi, it's like, wow, where is the limit of my bike? And the limit of the bike, Marquez is showing that it's further than with the other ones.
But yeah. Two things there. It's very short term because Mark is the best rider, but he's 31. Mm-hmm. And two, maybe in 1 year's time, Ducati are going to be testing a new motorcycle to fit the 2027 regulations. Therefore, you know, is that someone that you want to, and we know Marquez has a very special riding style, as we see with Honda. Is he somebody you really want, you know, at the forefront of that sort of development potentially? Also, on Mark's side, does he want to go back into that factory team environment, especially into Bagnaia's team? You know, he knows very well from his own operation in Repsol Honda for 10 years how difficult it is for other people to go into a structure that is very melded to the star player there, which, like it or not, is Bagnaia as a double world champion and an Italian team. You don't seem convinced, Manuel.
Absolutely not. Look, absolutely not. It looks like the development of the 1,000 bikes, the actual bikes, will be frozen in 2026. It's another reason why Mark should stay in Ducati. Because if they freeze the development of the bike, which bike would you choose to end the 1,000 era? It's, you know, and with all respect, look, Marquez has no fear at all for Bagnaia. And again, Dalinha wants to see his bike. And Dalinha would like to say, look, I took him from Honda where he disaster. He sat on my bike and he won the championship. So Gigi has always said, I am not a Ducatisti. I am not from Ducati. I am not a Ducati man. I am just here because Ducati gave me the tools to win the only championship that I had not won in the past. He looks only for himself.
Why do you think he said no to Honda? A culture thing? Surely it's not money.
No, but look, we are looking very much in the future, but don't descartar.
Don't discount.
Don't discount. This may happen in the future.
Okay. Goodness, we heard it first. But what about Manu? As you hold the microphone, tell us, what do you think about Jorge Martin? What of his fate then? I mean, for so long we said it's between Bastianini and you know, Martin.
Look, you can imagine how frustrated Jorge Martin is, or maybe. He's winning. He's leading the championship. And the stars of the championship is Marc Márquez and a guy called Pedro Acosta. Nobody gives him the merit, you know? It's amazing.
Why? Do you think people don't like him so much?
Well, his personality how do you say, selfish, maybe? It sounds sometimes selfish, but it's because the other have more charisma. You know, Pedro Acosta, we know the charisma he's bringing. He shines. Marquez is there because he's the best rider. So at the end, he's completely, feeling like, way, I am here, you know?
Neil, sorry, go on, you were going to say?
Yeah, and it's not just with Ducati that he feels that way. It's probably with some of the Spanish public as well. I was struck, we spoke about this at Jerez, Manuel, the sprint podium. Pedro Acosta was getting all sorts of love and adulation. Martin was getting basically next to no adulation, which, you know, for a rider that had just won the sprint at his home Grand Prix was quite strange. He's from Madrid, after all, just outside Madrid. You know, it's not a million miles away from Jerez.
Yeah, you heard the people screaming Pedro, Pedro, Pedro in Jerez, you know, and he finished second, right? So, yeah, as a sportsman, I think he feels himself mistreated, you say in English, yes?
Yeah, mistreated.
Yeah,
or
I think so. And where can Martin go? We spoke with him today, the Spanish media scrum.
To hear the rest of the Paddock Note show and the rest of the content from the Grand Prix de France at Le Mans, then join us on Patreon and sign up as a Paddock Insider.